Olin Hendricks wanted to be a missionary in Africa, but he couldn't go because his wife had no desire to go to a foreign country. In fact, her idea of roughing it was turning the electric blanket down to zero. He finally convinced his wife to go on a brief tour of Africa just so she'd get the feel of the country, and he was hoping she'd fall in love with the people and she would fall in love with the country and change her mind. But to his dismay, she was bitter and complained during the entire trip. He kept reminding his wife that on the last day they were going to visit Victoria Falls, which was Africa's most spectacular tourist attraction. Finally, on the last day, they arrived at the falls, and indeed it was very spectacular. And there on the bank next to the falls was a statue of the great missionary David Livingstone. And there he is standing, peering out over the falls, obviously looking out into the horizon for Jesus Christ. And as they looked at that statue together, he was praying that maybe this would change his wife's mind and inspire her to missionary service. They looked at it together in silence, and then he said to his wife, "Honey, what do you suppose David Livingstone was thinking about?" And his wife said, "He was probably thinking, I've had it up to here with Africa." Have you ever had it up to here with life? Do you ever get so disgusted with your job or your mate or your responsibilities at work or at church or at school that you say, "You know what? I just can't take it anymore." You feel like giving up and calling it quits, just dropping out altogether. And you see, whenever that happens, we suffer from low self-esteem. We're vulnerable to poor judgment, and we're tempted to turn our back on God and walk away from all of our commitments. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, "My dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." We're in a series on the life of Joseph, and the life of Joseph should encourage every one of us to be faithful to God even when we're discouraged. Here's a young man that could have easily said, "Man, I've had it up to here with Egypt. I'm sick of people who violated their word and let me down. I'm tired of waiting for God to answer my prayers." Look at his experiences. He's about 30 years old, and for the 30 years of his life, what he went through would make anybody depressed and discouraged. He was hated by his brothers because he was his dad's favorite son. And so his brothers abused him. They intended to kill him, but instead they sold him as a slave. And in a matter of hours, he went from a pampered son of a wealthy father to a lowly slave. As a slave, he arrives in Egypt. In Egypt, he worked hard. Instead of blaming God and becoming bitter, he determined, "I will be the best slave that I can." And his master soon noticed his abilities, and he made him his administrative assistant. But trouble continued. His master's wife tried to seduce him. He resisted her advances and ran out of the house. She's angered by his refusal. She accuses him of rape, and he's thrown in prison. Psalm 105, verse 18 says, "They bruised Joseph's feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons." Here Joseph is in a dungeon and in chains, and on top of that, the one man who could have made his pardon possible promptly forgot all about it. And he's still hanging out in prison for two more years. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 40. On both campuses, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 40, and let's read what he went through that caused him to be incredibly discouraged. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in that same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they'd been in custody for some time, each of the men had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he said to Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in the master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "They both had dreams." "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." And so the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened unto grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them in Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." Ah, Joseph said, "This is what it means. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. When all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "Hey, I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." Joseph said, "This is what your dream means. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all of his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of all of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that once again he put his cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had said to him in the interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. You're kidding me. Another round of discouragement. And yet in all the setbacks, setback after setback after setback, Joseph remained faithful to God and did not become discouraged. He has some incredible traits that you and I need to emulate. Let's look at some of those. Number one, Joseph was responsible. In chapter 39, it tells us that while he was in prison, he found favor with the prison warden, and he was given responsibility over the entire prison, and all the prisoners were under his care. In fact, he was so dependable and responsible that his boss trusted him completely. Secondly, he was sensitive to people. Here he is in prison with the chef and the wine taster. Their job was to keep Pharaoh from being poisoned. Now, why were they thrown in prison? Because Pharaoh's still alive. We don't know what it was that upset Pharaoh. Maybe there were too many jalapenos in the chili. Or maybe he tried to get Pharaoh on that cabbage soup diet. I don't know what it was, but they were thrown in prison. And yet, isn't it remarkable how God often brings people alongside of us who are either going through or have gone through the same experiences that we have? And so here's Joseph in prison. They've all been falsely accused. They're all in prison. And yet Joseph is able to minister to them. Remember what the scripture said? They came in. He said, "Wait a minute. Why are your faces so sad today?" He's about 28 years old. He is unfairly imprisoned. People have given him the shaft. And he has the ability to notice other people who are having a bad day. You see, when your heart is right with God, even though the bottom may have dropped out of your life, it's remarkable how God can and will use you to minister to somebody else in need. Number three, he was faithful to God. When the two men told Joseph their dreams, he didn't say, "Hey, you're talking to the right guy. I am a dream analysis expert. I can interpret your dreams." He didn't say that. Instead, Joseph said, "Wait a minute. Isn't God the one that gives the power to interpret?" He gave all the credit and the power to God. And so he said, "Tell me your dreams." And he interpreted their dreams for them through the power of Almighty God. He's faithful to God. Number four, he's a man of integrity. He told him the truth about how he felt. He said, "Hey, I don't like it being here in prison. And after I interpret your dreams and you do get out, would you put in a good word for me to Pharaoh?" And then when he interpreted their dreams, he also had the courage and boldness to tell them the truth, even though it wasn't pleasant. That's integrity. Let me ask you, if you've been in Joseph's shoes, what would you have told the baker about his dream? Would you have said something like, "Well, that's a tough dream. Why don't you come back in 4 days and I'll tell you what that means?" You see, it's often difficult to be honest with people and tell them the truth, even when it hurts. So we might avoid it and say something like, "You know what, Baker, I would not recommend you invest in long-term insurance." Joseph said, no, you got 3 days to live. You need to get your house in order. Ephesians says we're supposed to speak the truth in love. That's the balance for us as believers. Because you see, if we have all truth and no love, it comes across legalistic. On the other hand, if we have all love and no truth, it comes off very liberal and doesn't stand for anything. The balance is we got to speak the truth in love. And Joseph is a man of integrity. He tells the truth. He's not trying to win friends and influence people. He is a representative of Almighty God. Number five, he had perseverance. It's incredible as I read about this young man's story. After setback, after setback, after setback, he refused to quit. I mean, here he is, finally honoring God, interpreting the dreams, and says, wait a minute, you know, guys, when you get out, don't forget me. He would remain in prison for 2 more years. You talk about discouragement. Now, keep in mind, Joseph did not know the rest of the story. There's not a Gideon Bible in his cell where he could look ahead and read chapter 41. For all he knew, he was going to spend the rest of his life in jail, and yet, in spite of another setback, he didn't get discouraged. He never gave up his faith. He's kind of like that Energizer Bunny. No matter what happens to him, time after time, he gets up and keeps on going and going. The Apostle Paul put it this way, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." Listen, on both campuses, let's say this out loud together. Let's repeat this out loud. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I want to ask you today, what does it take to discourage you? What's it take to discourage you? Because the devil's greatest tool is discouragement. And if he can discourage us, he opens a wedge where we are vulnerable. And when he finds where we are weak and vulnerable, then he will attack us with almost anything and everything he's got. Thomas Edison tried 700 times to invent the light bulb before he saw light. He was able to overcome discouragement and setback after setback. His son Charles wrote a book entitled The Electric Thomas Edison, and he talks about his dad's incredible positive attitude. He said, quote, "One December evening, the cry of fire echoed through the plant. Spontaneous combustion had broken out in the film room. Within moments, all the packing compounds, film, and other flammable goods had gone up in flames. When I couldn't find my dad, I became concerned. Was he safe? With all of his assets going up in smoke, would his spirit be broken? He's 67 years of age. That's no time to begin again. Then I saw him in the plant yard running toward me. Where's mom? His dad said. Go get her. Tell her to go get all of her friends. They'll never see a fire like this again." Can you believe it? Rather than saying, what in the world did I do to deserve this? 67 years I've faithfully lived my life and tried to event things, and now I get this in return? No. He says, quick, go get your mom. This is an unbelievable fire, one in a lifetime. She's got to see it. Are you discouraged? You could be on the verge of one of the greatest victories in your life. Paul Allen said this, every failure contains the seeds of your next success. I want to repeat that. Every failure contains the seeds of your next success. So let's talk a little bit. What are some keys to overcoming discouragement? What are some practical things you and I can do to rebound when we have setback after setback after setback? Number one, when you're discouraged, keep doing your job. You see, Joseph performed his job to the best of his ability, even though no doubt he wasn't happy with what was going on. You see, when you and I get discouraged, there's a temptation to withdraw, to call in sick, to do sloppy work, to stay in bed and complain, but that only compounds the problem. Because the next day you feel guilty, you feel more depressed and more discouraged. When you're discouraged, force yourself to be responsible, even though you don't feel like it. You see, I'm the pastor of this church, and sometimes I don't feel like getting up and coming to church on the weekend, week after week after week. I'd rather call and have somebody else preach, but I'm not governed by my feelings. I'm governed by what God has commanded me to do. So even when I don't feel like it, I go to church. because that's what the Bible tells me to do. Sometimes when I get up in the pulpit, I look back at the way you look at me. At least I want to do that. But the Bible commands me to be kind. So I smile. When you're discouraged, keep doing your job. Remain faithful. Don't give up. Number two, when you're discouraged, look for others to encourage. See, the best way to overcome discouragement is to minister to someone else. Here's young Joseph in prison, discouraged, and yet what does he do? He looks at the sad countenance on two other prisoners who are hurting. But when we hurt, the danger is we want others to minister to us. And we go, why isn't everybody taking care of me? But instead, we need to reach out to others. Write down 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Here it is in the Message translation. God comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who's going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. A man was suffering from severe depression. He went to the counselor, and the counselor said, do something that will encourage someone else. And so he forced himself to follow the counselor's advice, and he looked for someone he could encourage. He thought of all the people in his life, and then he thought of a school teacher who taught him how to have a love for literature, and so he decided that he would sit down and write her a handwritten note. A short time later, he received this reply. Dear Willie, when I read your letter, I was blinded with tears. For I remember you as a little fellow in class, and it warmed my old heart. I've taught school for 50 years, and yours is the first letter of thanks I've ever received from a student. I will cherish it until the day I die. End of her reply. He was so pumped up and encouraged by her response, he said, there's got to be other people that I can encourage. And he sat down and began to write letters to other people in his life that he wanted to encourage. And at the end of 2 weeks, he had handwritten over 500 thank you letters. And to his surprise, his depression was cured. Are you discouraged today? Do you really want to feel better? Then find someone else around you who is in need of encouragement and reach out and minister to them. Number three, when you're discouraged, put your trust completely in God. That's what young Joseph did. God's timing, no doubt, was difficult to understand. His methods were different from what Joseph would have liked. But you see, he believed the promises of God and he hung on to his faith. And I believe that is the real test of Christian commitment. Will you and I be faithful to God when life doesn't make sense? You see, it's easy to be faithful to God when the bills are paid, the kids are great, the marriage is good, the income is up, the business is awesome. It's pretty easy to be faithful to God. But you know, when setback and discouragement comes our way, time after time after time, and we say, God, this doesn't make any sense, that's when people watch us. And that's when our Christian commitment is for real. A young man was brilliant as a little boy, but he had a terrible birthmark on his face. And his mother tried to give him confidence and build up his self-esteem, and yet her worst fears were imagined as he came home from his first day of school. He said, Mom, all the other kids made fun of me, and I'm not going back to school. But his mother said, Son, I'm sorry, you're going to go back to school because you've got to learn to hang in there and be responsible in life. Many years later, Dr. Charles Elliott retired as president of Harvard University. He said of all the education and experience that he received in life, the greatest life lessons he learned were at his mother's knee when he was 6 years old, when she said to him, Charles, I'm sorry, but remember, there are some things in life that you cannot change. End of quote. That's why you and I need to remember when we're discouraged that there are some things that we can't change. But we have to trust God that his promises are true and he will work things out for our good. You've heard this scripture used a lot, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. It does not say that God will work the good in every situation. It says that God will work all things out for the good if we as followers of Christ love him, we believe in him, and we understand, God, what is your purpose in this situation? So what do you and I do? We need to accept what we can't change and act on what we can change. If you can't change it, accept it. If you can change it, do something about it. Everything else takes care of itself. You see, you can start over. You can overcome a bad habit. You can have a great marriage. You can have a different attitude and outlook on life. Your future can be incredible. You can overcome any discouragement that you will face with the help of Almighty God. I want you to watch this video of the Wagner family that is currently going through some incredible discouragement. Listen to their story.
My name is Steve Wagner. This is my wife, Jackie. We've been married for 20 years. We've been attending CCV for about a year and a half. My daughter's been going there since seventh grade. She's the one that got us going there. We have two sons, 17 and 10 years old. Katie is 15 now, going on 16 in November. We are currently in the toughest journey of our life.
We found out on October 7th just what we thought was a minor problem going into the ER. A week later in the journey, found out that our daughter has stage 4 rhabdomyosarcoma cancer, and it is spread throughout her abdomen and in several parts of several bones and parts of her body. It's in her lungs. She has a large tumor in her pelvis, and statistically, the prognosis is not good for this. It's a very rare cancer. They say only maybe 5 in about a million kids get this. The night that we found out was horrifying. And the first couple days were very, very difficult. We cried a lot and we prayed a lot. And then we were surrounded by people, friends, family, people from everywhere who came to support us and to tell us they were praying for us.
When we first found this out, after the dust kind of settled a little bit that night, I went to Katie and I told her, you said you wanted to go on a mission trip. You and Allie, her best friend, wanted to go on a mission trip. And I told her, you just got your wish. And be ready, because it's going to be a big mission field. What she wants to make sure happens is that kids hear the gospel, how to be saved, receive eternal life.
A lot of people, a lot of friends who've been coming to visit at the hospital don't understand how we can have hope and why, when they come in the room, we're not falling apart crying. But because of the relationship we have with God and the peace that is over us that passes all understanding, no matter what it is God has you walking through, if he brings you to it, he's going to bring us through it. God is just using Katie as a vessel to get to these kids, to help them to see that they need the Lord in their life. And Katie is amazing, and she has such a sweet spirit, and she's ready for this journey. So I just hope that these kids and other families, other people, will see that no matter how tough things are in your life and no matter how devastating it looks, the future of whatever is happening, that God is right there. If you reach out for him, he is there and he will carry you through.
Jackie said an incredible line there as you listen to their testimony. She said, if God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. That's a great statement of faith. If God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. You say, wait a minute, how in the world can God bring you through that? Because as believers in Jesus Christ, they have claimed God's promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's what it says. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today and gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now will last forever. How in the world do you overcome discouragement and setback after setback? You've got to put your complete hope and trust in God. You take your situation, you take your problem, you take your struggle, you take your cancer, you take your addiction, you take your child, you take your future, and you place it in God's hands. That's what Joseph did. And God did not abandon him. God did not forget him. God did not leave him. And he walked with young Joseph every step of the way. And the good news is today, God wants to do for you exactly what he did for Joseph. But you got to put the situation in God's hands and trust that he will give you the courage and the strength to face anything, any discouragement, any setback that comes your way. Let's pray. Lord God, today we've been hit with two things. One is the story in the Bible of a young man that faced discouragement after discouragement and setback after setback, and yet he trusted you. And he got through it. And then also today, we've been hit with the reality of this week. Of a precious young lady named Katie, who her family just found out she has stage 4 cancer. And God, we know that you are the loving God and you are in the healing business. And we pray that if it is your desire and will, you would heal her completely. We pray that whatever happens, you will be honored and glorified as that is her desire. I thank you for her faith. I thank you for her parents' faith. Because like Joseph, they've put their hope and trust in you. And I pray that as young students, friends, come to visit her and their family, that they would rethink life and their faith. And God, I pray for all of us who have gone through struggles in the past or are going through struggles right now, that we too would realize that people are watching us every day. And it's when we go through the discouragement, the tough times, that our faith shine strong, and they see Jesus in us. So give us the courage today to hang in there and not give up and go the distance and put our setback and our discouragement in your hands and turn it over to you. Because we trust you and because you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.